And they're, oh, I'm not, it's terrible to leave without so many.
I was just curious about that. I won't do that anymore. Are there any other organizations that you could think of? Those are the ones that I know about that you're heavily involved in at present.
I would say that that we've pretty well covered everything. Mm-hmm. I was involved for a while with the Religious Coalition for Abortion Rights and NARAL, National mm-hmm. Abortion Rights Action League, but they have not been active locally, and I actually have confined my support to financial support as well as Planned Parenthood, because the right to choose abortion is something that's that I think is very important for women.
And I can think of two that we haven't spoken about. One is the Political Committee for Electing Pennsylvania Women, and I'm sure I didn't get that right.
Oh,
maybe you can tell us about that.
That's the Pennsylvania Women's Campaign Fund, and it is just what it says. It is a an organization that exists only to raise money to support qualified women candidates in Pennsylvania, and they are targeting at this point. And I think this was what they were set up to do, trying to get women elected to the state legislature, where Pennsylvania, I think, ranks second from the bottom of all the states. And it's a relatively new group. Helen Seeger is the current chairwoman of it, and Barbara Shore serves, Cecile Springer.
Helen Siegel?
Seeger, S-E-A-G-E-R. And
who was the third one, please?
Cecile Springer.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, a pretty good group of us. And we involved Rita Shapira, and she and I sponsored a fundraising event in the fall to support the candidates.
Is that only Democratic
candidate? No, that is bipartisan. Thank you for your for saying that. No, it is bipartisan, absolutely, and we encourage the women to run.
How did a thing like that start?
Well, I think
how much is that?
I have no idea. It started in Philadelphia. Most of these things seem to. And then they always need a Western Pennsylvania arm because the state is so far flung. And as a matter of fact, my birthday is a week from Sunday, and there's a meeting of the like an executive committee meeting of the campaign fund, and I'm going to spend my birthday afternoon.
That's how you're celebrating. I can't think of a better way. It's so
just a couple hours in the afternoon.
In character. And of course, your latest endeavor has been the anti-nuclear campaign, Peace Link, would you say?
I'm really not that directly. I was sort of involved with it in the beginning, and I just was getting spread a little bit too thin. Mm-hmm. Now, I certainly support what they do, and am keenly interested in nuclear disarmament and a nuclear freeze, but really nuclear disarmament. And I just do what I can. I support financially, and go to meetings and call the senators and congressmen when bills are coming up in the Congress. So far, unfortunately, without much success, mm-hmm. but maybe eventually we will win. I regard myself as a part of that movement, but I'm not really actively involved in any of the specific organizations. Jimmy's with United World Federalists, and they're very active too. So we go to things, go to dinners and meetings and things of that sort together.
There was one thing that you mentioned that I would like to get on the tape. This is completely away from the subject of volunteer groups, but you've mentioned off the tape, and I would like to have it recorded, about who received the first key to Anniston House. I don't think we recorded that at the time when you were president. Did you remember?
I think it was Dorothy Blumenthal who was the first chairwoman of Anniston House.
Mm-hmm.
And
did that. Okay. And Mr. Kaplan is who I remember. I recall you mentioned about the tape.
Yes, he was the president of the seniors.
How would you, do you have any further views on the volunteer situation in the city, or nationally, or anything else you'd like to say about that? You're so heavily involved in that.
Well, I think that nationally and locally that NCJW has been really meeting the challenge. Now, I don't think that we have probably the number of service volunteers that we used to have because of the fact that so many of our women have gone back to school, back to work, or started working. But we they're volunteering in different ways, not so much in direct service, although there are a few projects where they do, the ones that are able. But I think that we have reached a very vital group of younger women, and I don't mean in their 20s, but 30s and 40s, who are interested in our program and who are interested more in the in public affairs and advocacy. We have many more of those than we used to. Not enough, but more.
Mm.
I just think that this is, we've had to, to kind of trim our sails in that respect. We have to pay a lot more people than we used to. The advent of a paid administrative assistant to the president, I think, was a very wise move. It certainly has, now that's only been, it's about 4 years now since we had a pay person in that.
Does that seem to be the way other groups are going?
Are
we behind or ahead or what?
Well, the larger groups like the YWCA, for instance, have always had large staff, and we just never did. We did back, in the old days when I was president, there were virtually no professionals involved. I think Council House, because that was a different thing. That was, dealing with the mentally ill. It required. But when we started it with a volunteer, but she was a professional. Who volunteered her services, and I think we used to do that a lot. Anniston House seems to have its share of volunteers. I was thinking also of the council shop, which operated almost entirely, except for the manager. There was always a paid shop manager, and everything was done by volunteers. Then we had a truck driver. Now there's just many more paid help, and that's a good thing because women need jobs, for goodness sakes, and we should be helping to provide some kind of positions for them. And also, I think that we provide training. This is the thing that I see, and that women are. Our women who have gone through our ranks tell me all the time about how these are women who are now professionals or working in well-paying jobs or running businesses and doing all kinds of things, that they feel a great debt to NCJW for providing them with their background and training. So I take a lot of pride in that.
Is there something that you wish that you had done or intend to do that you haven't done as yet? Is there something that, some successes? You have talked about many successes, but perhaps some things that you left undone or that you wish you had done?
I don't have any negative feelings like that. I'm sure that there were things there.
I was thinking about paid work, not at all.
That I have no regrets. I know that if I were to do it over again, now, I mean, if I were, I would certainly feel differently. But I am a product of my times, and it was when. While there were women, when I was coming to womanhood, who did work and who became professionals, they were always regarded with as being quite different. I mean, that was not the norm, and I was absolutely brought up to get married and have a family, and that was that. I mean, once I had a hankering to go to work, and I mentioned it to my mother, and she almost had a fit, and I didn't want to upset her, so I never mentioned it again. But
I thought you had worked once at a car shop or something. Was that very?
Oh, that was for such
time.
A short time.
That was
immediately after my divorce, and I guess I thought I needed to do something like that, and it was good. I'm glad I did that. It was less than a month. But that was my only experience in the business world. And I was, a glorified clerk was all I was. But I think I could have, I could have been promoted. I had a sense that it was possible that
no
I might
doubt
be.
About
it. But I had no regrets about leaving it. And as far as my feelings toward my volunteer activities, I feel that I've been truly blessed. Because while I did, I did work hard and I did all I paid my dues to get to go up the ladder by some of the small jobs that I did in preparation. I was always ready for the next step, and I have had complete, I feel absolutely fulfilled. even though I know that I would have probably wanted some kind of career if I had lived at a different time, I have no regrets. And now I'm living vicariously in my daughter's success.
Oh, I see.
Who is doing extremely well as an art historian and now a curator at the Fort Worth Art Museum. I might as well get that issue.
Sure. Oh, of course. I don't know. Did we mention what your son does?
My son is in advertising, in the creative end. It's interesting that both my kids have had some artistic, Diane, not a creative artistic ability, but a deep interest in art that caused her to go into art history, and she's certainly succeeding very well at it. And my son is in the creative end of the advertising business. He's he's now beyond that. He's not a copywriter anymore, but he does the commercials. He's not in the.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And very successful at it.
Wonderful.
I'm glad to say.
Well, I feel that we have covered everything. Oh, I wanted to ask you one other thing. What about some more recreational activities? That you did mention that you were a golfer. And
well, I was never really a golfer.
Oh,
I played golf. But and I used to play reasonably well.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've gotten older and with the problems that I've had with my legs and one thing or another, my game is so poor that I now play strictly for recreation and companionship and fresh air and sunshine, and it's fine. And I enjoy it a lot more than when I took it more seriously.
Is there anything else that you do for recreation or leisure?
I like to swim,
mm-hmm.
and I love the theater, and I knit and crochet a lot, and do some. I haven't done much needlepoint lately, but I was into that for a while. I like to have my hands occupied. Great to get lots of things done when you're sitting in meetings. You have your knitting or crochet with you. And love to travel. And we have done our share.
And you're about to do some more.
And we're about to do some more. We're in just a little more than a month, we're going to China, which I'm very excited about. And that's kind of a, you know.
Are you going by yourself or on a tour?
Well, we're spending, it's a land, sea, and air trip. And we will be on land for a few days, and then we embark on a ship, a smallish ship. It's called yacht size.
Mm-hmm.
That will sail along the China coast and dock at some of the, you know, at some at lovely.
Is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to cover? Any kind of philosophy? You have compared the Pittsburgh that you came to the Pittsburgh today. Anything else you'd like to say about that?
I think I'm a little concerned about the turn toward conservatism that I see among, and I'm speaking politically, and ideologically, as it were, among the younger people. But I guess there are always cycles of that kind, and I hope I'm around to see it change back again, because I like it better the other way.
Were you ever active in party politics?
No, just supporting specific candidates. I have become more and more active in that regard as I've gotten older, because I've come to realize that. That's not enough just to be for somebody. You really have to put your money where your heart is, and because nobody can get elected without it. And I back a lot of losers, but maybe that'll change too.
Do you think that volunteerism is on its way out?
I don't think so, because there'll never be enough money to pay everybody to do the things that need to be done. And I think that it's up to all of us, to adults, to really begin to instill more feeling for volunteerism in our children as they grow. That they that they really have to give something of themselves.
Sorry, coughing is pretty
strangling.
Well, you certainly have been an example of that. Joan, is there anything you'd like to add?
No.
Charlie, would you like to add anything else? Okay. It's hard to be on the spot.
It's been a revelation, because well as I have known Shirley, I have not known lots of these things. In such depth, at least.
That's right, I can say that too. And certainly you have had a very rewarding and productive life, and you're going to continue on to do that.
Well, I'm not planning to quit.
That's good.
I just don't take the overall kinds of responsibility of chairing big committees and things that I used to do because Jimmy and I now want to really, we are traveling quite a little bit, and I want to be free to do that. It's not fair to take on something and then not be around to do what you want.
That was always your philosophy. We want to thank you very much. This has been a wonderful addition to the council's archives. Even though you're coughed, that's all right.
It's been a great experience for me.
Oh, how nice.
And, you know, I kind of feel like I've been on This Is Your Life because it's helped me to almost to put all of this in perspective. And it's been a great joy. And my personal feeling is that, I mean, it's lovely to be honored and to be thanked and to get all kinds of approval. But it somehow I feel that it's not fair to do that because I'm only doing what I want to do, and I don't see why I should be rewarded particularly for doing what I enjoy doing and get so much out of. It's been it's just been, as they say in the trade, a really rewarding kind of life that I wouldn't change it.
Wonderful words to end on. Thank
there
you,
it is.
Shirley.